Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Watoto family, wherever you may be, watching on air or online, or listening in on Power FM, praise God. It is so awesome that you are here today. My name is Graham from Watoto Church in Mbarara, and it's a privilege for me to be bringing the Word of God to you today. You know, the Word of God is the bread of life. And it really can transform somebody when they take it and put it on the inside of them. It can really change their lives. And so I'm hoping that today your life is also going to be changed by an encounter with God's life-giving word. I know that the season we've been in has been a bit tough, and people have had to cope with a couple of losses. Maybe a loss of a job, maybe loss of a loved one. Maybe, you know, your supplies may be running low, or maybe they've already run out. Maybe you're watching me this morning from your hospital bed. I am here to bring you a word from God. Because when you're wondering whether God remembers you, whether He sees you, whether He cares about you, I'm here to assure you from His word that He does. The psalmist said, I look up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Look to God today and fear not. No matter what's going on around you, have faith that God has great plans for you. Let us pray together. Now, Father, as I preach your word, I pray that you anoint me and give me clarity, and that you open every heart that hears it so that this word can be sown deep in their souls to transform them for the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. In the year 586 BC, the southern kingdom, Judah, was carried off into exile in Babylon. This was a fulfillment of a prophecy that they would get punished if they did not repent and turn to God. While they were there, there was some social pressure from the local prophets wondering how they can bring a word of encouragement to the people who are so downcast and forlorn. And so there comes a dude in Jeremiah chapter 28 named Hananiah. Now, Hananiah is a prophet, and he comes and says, guys, in less than 2 years, we're going to be back home. We're going to be back to where things are the way we remember them. But he was not speaking from God. He made it sound quite soon, you know, like Thursday, like we're going home soon. And so God sends Jeremiah to put the record straight. And Jeremiah comes and says, guys, this is what God is saying. We're not going anywhere tomorrow. God is saying, settle down, plant vineyards and eat what they produce. Marry and build houses and basically chill. It's going to be a while. And so he tells them to even pray for this place, that if it prospers, they too shall prosper. And this is what he writes down in Jeremiah 29. Says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God reminded the children of Israel that they could trust him, that he was trustworthy, especially because he already had a plan for them. Maybe you are listening to me today and you feel like you're in a bit of an exile. You feel internally displaced by a lockdown. I'm here to encourage you today and say, look to God and do not fear. He has wonderful plans for you as well. And so this is what I want you to hear today from the voice of God. Number one, God will carry us through trials. A trial is a difficult situation that we all go through. It is a part of life. But if you survive it and if you go through it, you come out better for it. There is no place in the world where you can advance from one step to another step without going through some kind of test. Whether it is from nursery to P1, you do an interview. When you're going from one level of education to another, you do some kind of exam. Tests are part of life. There is a time for everything. The tests that come your way is not because the devil is on your case or because something is going on and you're somehow out of the favor of God. It's just life. Life happens. In fact, when Solomon got a reckoning of this, this is what he wrote down in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He said, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time for social distance, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Friends, we are not promised or guaranteed anywhere in the scripture that we're going to have a smooth sailing life with no trials, with no tests, with no problems. In fact, so much so that Jesus himself suffered. Jesus went through trial in the desert. He had to contend with some of his best friends betraying him and the society around him with religious leaders plotting and maligning and trying to figure out how to kill him. When he was at his point of the most anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays while feeling the separation he has from the Father and says, "Not my will, but yours be done." In fact, in John chapter 15, he doesn't promise his disciples that because you've been with me, somehow you are immune from suffering and from trial and from pain. Jesus said, "No servant is greater than their master. If they've done this to me, they're going to do it to you also." He sort of promised them suffering. Go figure. Consider James. James is the brother of Jesus. Now, you cannot be more connected than that. But even when he had an opportunity to write about suffering, this is what he says. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Friends, regardless of the trials that we go through, God has a plan for you. He cares for you and he loves you and he has a plan to bring you through. He cares for us. He carries us. They say tough times don't last, but tough people do. I know of all kinds of stories I've heard of people who, since the first lockdown, lost their 9-to-5 jobs, but were able to pick up a new skill, a new way to make ends meet. And they're now thriving and they don't think they're ever going back to work because somehow God brought them through. I know of big companies whose founders have autobiographies that I've happened to read. And those companies are here today because those founders did not quit at a certain time when things were tough. But they endured and they went through it. Strong marriages that last 30, 40, 50 years that we hear about is not because they lack challenges and not because they lack trials and tests, but because somehow God has worked out a patience in these people and it has grown into this fruit that gets them to endure difficult circumstances so that they can stick together for the glory of God. And up there, in front, in the future, God lays out a plan that is dependent on them being together for the glory and honor of his name. It's not suffering forever, but there will be tests. There will be trial. There will be suffering. Will you endure it? Now, none of these founders or the people that I'm talking about were particularly grateful when they were going through the trials. But they cannot exchange the insight and the character and the strength they got during that time. With time and perspective, my friends, most of us can see some good out of the trials that we go through. Persevering through those tests and trials will get you to God's plan in your life. This is what the scripture says in another version. "Don't run from tests and hardships, brothers and sisters. As difficult as they are, you will ultimately find joy in them if you embrace them. Your faith will blossom under pressure and teach you true patience as you endure. The true patience brought on by endurance will equip you to complete the journey and cross the finish line, mature, complete, and wanting nothing." God will not tempt you beyond what you can endure. In fact, when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, as the psalmist writes, we know that He is with us. God has great plans for you. Will you hang in there, my brother, my sister? He will carry you through. But we can also count on God to keep His promises. Many of us may be ready to return to our old lives. We are quite tired of this situation as it is, and we are ready to move on. Maybe some of us don't have the privilege of going back to the lives the way we remember them. Maybe you lost a spouse. Maybe you lost a close relative. Maybe a colleague from work with whom you used to share food in the cafeteria. Now you're afraid to go back and sit at that same table, and your person was not across the table. And you're wondering what the world has come to, and in some cases it sort of makes you afraid. I'm here to encourage you today, fear not. God has wonderful plans for you, and He is sure to fulfill His promises in His timing. Put your faith in God. He is still almighty. He's still a miracle worker. He's still able and willing to bring His plan in your life to pass. In the scripture, Jeremiah says this, "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." In God's timing, He makes everything beautiful. Consider Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. The scripture tells a story of a man who in his old age trusted God. It stands out he did not have children, but God makes a promise to him to birth an entire nation from this one man. But Abraham failed the timing test. He tried to rush the promise because he felt that after waiting 25 years, it was about time he had a child. But that was not the child of promise. Fortunately, our God is a God of grace, and He gives Abraham a second chance and gives him the son of promise, who is the father of Jacob, who's the father of the 12 sons who are the tribes of Israel. We know the rest. In God's timing, He will fulfill His promises. You may be watching today and you're like, "Pastor, I don't know God's plan for my life. Never mind the timing for it. When is all of this going to happen? What good is this that I'm hearing?" Maybe God has not shown you the plan He has for your life because you may run away. Maybe you will not believe Him. Maybe you will find a new way to mess it up, like Abraham almost did. Look at Watoto Ministries. We have been here 37 years. But I guarantee you that if you ever had a coffee with Gary and Marilyn Skinner, our founders, they'll tell you that there were tough times. There are hundreds of times they could have quit and gone home and said, "Hey, we tried, but it wasn't worth it." But no, when tough times came, God carried them through, and they knew that God had promised that this was going to be a life-giving church. And they trusted in the promise of God, and they stuck it out. Today, 37 years later, we are not able to gather physically as a congregation. And across the nations and across the world, maybe the situation is the same. Who knew that by not quitting during those tough times, the Word of God would still come and be a ministry of hope into your living room, into your cell phone screen, into wherever you are seeing or hearing this voice from? 21 years ago, if you had told me I'd be here declaring the Word of God to the nations, I would have thought you're out of your mind. Because 21 years ago, I was a club DJ in Silver Springs in Bugolobi. If you had told me then that I would be declaring the Word of God today, I would not believe you either. And so this is a bit of an awkward scene where I'm here and you're there, but both of us are here because of the faithfulness of someone who did not quit when the going got tough. Perhaps you are feeling perplexed and persecuted and pressed on every side because of the situation that we are in. Perhaps you wonder, if God still remembers you, if He really has a plan for your life, I'm here to encourage you today to wait on the Lord. Some of you may try to attempt witchcraft and say, these are quick answers that I can guarantee. It's going to be a waste of your money. It goes nowhere. Some of you are going to attempt substance abuse and say, why don't I try out this drug and this alcohol because I have all this time on my hands. Trust me, that's not what you want. You want to be drunk on the Holy Ghost, not on any of those things. Trust in God's timing. He will bring the plans He has for you to pass in His time. Don't give up. Don't give in. Persevere and fear not. Let patience work in you and bring about well-formed maturity in you. Until then, Paul writes to the Philippians and says, be anxious about nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will gird your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Commit everything to God. Allow Him to take charge. He will see you through and He will bring you out of this tough time, out of this tough trial. For we know, Romans 8, that God works all things for the good of those who love Him and who've been called according to His purpose. God is at work to fulfill His plan in your life. Will you trust Him today? He will carry you through. He's trustworthy to bring it to pass. I'm here to tell you today that also one day there will be no more suffering. We can count on Him to bring all suffering on earth to an end. Christians, live in anticipation of the joyous celebration that will happen and an expectation of Jesus when He ushers in the full kingdom of God right here on earth. It is the Magna Carta of perfection. I could try to describe it, but I'd only prophesy in part. In fact, this is how Paul writes it in 1 Corinthians. He says, now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. Fortunately, John was not as shy as giving us a good record of what he had seen in his vision. In chapter 21, verse 3 to 5, this is what it says, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making all things new. Friends, Jesus is coming back. And when He does, He will turn the world right. And there'll be no more pandemics, no more wars, no more suffering, no more pain, none of this. When is that going to be? We don't know. It's not recorded in the scripture. In fact, the disciples tried to ask Jesus that same question. And He says, man, the issues of timing are for My Father. You deal with being My witnesses all around you, in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the outermost ends of the earth. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? He is ready to execute His plan in your life. But are you ready for it? Maybe you may be a bit less ready than you think. I read a story about a little boy who often had toothaches. And he knew that if he went to his mother, she'd give him something to numb the pain and put him to bed. But he did not go to his mother. Not until the pain was excruciating and unbearable would he go. His hesitance to go to mommy was not because he doubted that she would give him something to numb the pain, but because he was sure that mom would do something else also. He would take him to the dentist in the morning. And he could not get what he wanted without getting something else that he did not want from her. He wanted immediate pain relief. But mom knew that you could not get that without having your teeth permanently set right. And this boy knew those dentists. They won't let sleeping dogs lie. You know your dentist. You go and open your mouth, and once he's in there, he starts fidgeting with all kinds of other teeth that have no problem with them. You always get the full treatment. You're trying to say, dude, stay in your lane. Just deal with this one thing. And the guy's saying, man, we have a cavity about to start here. We have a bit of decay here. We need to floss this better. And he's going to go everywhere in the process of fixing one problem. Well, in some ways, our Lord Jesus is like that. I want to give you an opportunity to accept him today, but remember that he's like the dentist. Every Sunday or every opportunity we give for people to give their hearts to Jesus, they come wanting him to fix one thing. Maybe one habit they may be having that they're embarrassed about. Or maybe something in their lives that spoils good sport. And maybe it's a bad temper or drunkenness. Or maybe it's a sickness or COVID or something. They come with one thing and they're like, God, if you can just fix this one thing, we're good. Well, it doesn't work like that. You always get the full treatment when you give Jesus any space. He will come in and start to bring about perfection in you. He's not called the great physician for nothing. Yes, he will bring healing into that area of your life that you need him for, but he's also going to deal with your health and your marriage and your relationships and your finances, and everything else around you is going to start to morph into a perfection that only Jesus has as you become more and more like him, so that he can present you with confidence to his Father. And his Father should say, that is my son, that is my daughter in whom I am well pleased. It doesn't matter what the cost. Jesus is ready to take you for the long haul to the plan that God has for you, a plan to make you more and more like himself. And so if you want Jesus in your life, I want to pray for you right now. Father, you see every heart that is open to you today. They're reaching out to you and saying, will you write my name in the book of life? Because I've heard today that you love me and you care for me. And I want to give my heart to you and live for the glory and honor of your name from this day forward. And so receive me in your kingdom so that I may live for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And so for everyone else that is left, I want to pray this prayer from Ephesians 3 for you. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with the inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts, and you will, as you trust him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all fullness of life and power that comes from God. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. I'm so excited for you. If you've given your heart to Jesus today for the first time, click that link that's going to appear on the screen and give us a line. If you're not on a computer, you can write us an email later at connect@watotochurch.com. We are excited to hear from you because of the miracle that has occurred in your life. We want to connect you with some friends who will start you on this walk that you're embarking on. God bless you, and I hope you have a phenomenal day in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.